you for opening your Bible up with me to the book of Matthew at the second chapter. Now, the story of the birth of Christ is one of the most glorious of all the stories in the human race. It is also a story of one of the most well-attested facts of history. So Christians everywhere celebrate Christmas. Everywhere. Seems like it's everywhere across the globe. And we remember what we refer to it as Christmas, the day when God entered humanity. Christmas, the day when God entered humanity. Now today, the men that we refer to as the three kings. Today, the men that we refer to as the three kings. Generally speaking, kings would be kings for two reasons. One reason, they're born into it. Number two, they go to war and become a greater king, generally speaking. Some of you have probably sung the song many times. Christmas time of all times during the year, we say and we sing about the three kings. It goes like this: we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse a far field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star, O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never over us all to reign. And the chorus: frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising all men raising, worship him, God most high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breeze of life, of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. And verse 5 goes like this: glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Earth to heaven replies. So who are the three kings? I'm going to guess that some of you have some idea who the three kings were, but maybe not. So I've titled today's message, O Worship the King. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for giving us your Son. Thank you, Father, for the reminder again today of his birth, certainly his death, burial, and his resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today to lift our voices in honor and praise and true worship. We ask, dear Father, that even as we look at your precious word today, that our hearts will be drawn to your Son. More than anything in this world, Lord, we need our hearts to be drawn to him. So we pray that you direct us today, wherever your word is being preached or taught this morning, dear Lord, we pray that the name of Christ would be lifted up high. We give you the glory and all the honor in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Generally, about this time of year, you'll hear the three kings, maybe in a Christmas carol, maybe on your Christmas cards, maybe in the Christmas pageant. But tradition has it that you've got one man named Gaspar, or some people call him Casper. Generally, he's with brown hair, brown beard, or no beard at all. He wears a green cloak, and he's got a gold crown with green jewels on it. He's said to have been the king of Sheba, and he represents frankincense that was brought to Jesus. The second one is a fellow by the name of Melchior. He's the one that's usually portrayed with the long white hair, white beard, wearing a gold cloak. He is called the King of Arabia, and Melchior represents the gold that was brought to Jesus. And then there's a fellow by the name of Balthazar. He has black skinned, generally a black beard or none at all. He's the one that wears the purple cloak, and he's the king of Tarsus and Egypt, and Balthazar represents the gift of myrrh that was brought to Jesus. Now, we had to wait all the way over until the 6th century A.D. to find anything about the three kings. We waited until the 6th century A.D. till somebody called them kings. We waited until the 6th century before somebody, lack of a better term, dreamed up names for the three kings. It wasn't until 1857 till a man by the name, a pastor by the name of John Henry Hopkins Jr. wrote the poem that we sing today called The Three Kings. He puts words in each one of the men's mouths. Each one of them would have sung a story about, like Gaspar, he would be singing about the frankincense. Melchior, he would be singing about the gold. And Balthazar would be singing about the myrrh. Generally, that's the case. So I wondered to myself, maybe you've sometimes wondered, have you not wondered, at least wondered, who are the three kings? Nobody's wondered but me. Or maybe some of you might have thought, who are these kings? Now you've got your Bible open, so I want you to find with me the first verse of the second chapter of Matthew. Look with me at these words where it says this. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered together the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, that would be Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, a ruler, that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you've found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they'd heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star that they'd seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down, worshipped him. When they'd opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned by God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So what does the Bible say? What does the Lord tell us? What do we know about the kings? I want to say a couple things this morning in light of the fact that I've titled today's message, O Worship the King. There's just two or three things on my heart today. The first thing is, you don't need to have all the answers. There's a new book that was just written about 2 years ago, telling us a whole lot more about the kings. There was a man who just recently discovered a document telling the whole story that the kings told, and he translated it into the English language. And so now we have new information about the kings that nobody knew until the last 5 years. Notwithstanding all that, I would like to say to you, you don't have to know everything about the kings. What you do have to know is, what does it say in Scripture? What do we know about the kings? That's what's on my heart today. I want you to think with me a little bit about this, because Bible students have studied the kings, searched the identities of the wise men. Who were they? Where were they from? What were they really doing there? How did they get there? But you see, with all our study, we'd be better off to just go back and see, what does the Bible say? And we'll probably find a whole lot more peace and calm in our spirit. You know what, folks? I'm curious, too. I'm curious. But did you know that God didn't write the Bible for curiosity's sake? You knew that. God's word wasn't written for the curious. And I don't have to understand everything that there is to know about the story to accept it as the truth. I take Matthew chapter 1 as true. I take Matthew 2 as true. I take Matthew 3 as true. I take Matthew 4 as true. If there's history there, I take it. If there's theology there, I take it. If there's a story there and the Bible says it, listen, folks, take it. You don't have to have all the answers. Just accept what God has given to you. You know, anybody here like the sunshine? You all like the sunshine? You like the sunshine on the snow, sparkling and so forth, right? You all love the sparkling sunshine on the snow? Sure you do. Do you have to understand everything about the sun or the snow to enjoy the sparkle? No. So enjoy the sparkle of the simple truth of a wonderful story about the wise men that's given on the pages of the Bible. Now, what we do know about the first Christmas might be the best, and I mean that with all my heart. The account of the wise men is just part of the fact that God entered into human history. God became a baby. A little difficult for us to comprehend, yet it's absolutely true. So even though we don't know a lot about the wise men, we have what the Lord has given to us, and literally, that's enough. Well, is it enough? But this whole idea of the three kings is probably conjecture. It's certainly tradition. But I want you to realize that if the Bible wanted us to have more information about the character of these men, about what they are, really where they were from, because all we know is that they came from the east, but we do have tradition. And listen, folks, we don't rely upon tradition. We have tradition because of curiosity. We want to think about what maybe somebody else thought about where the kings came from and what the kings did. Listen, usually, are you ever going to get three kings traveling together? You know what? You're going to get three kings traveling together. They're going to go to war. Why would they take such a huge journey together? Listen with me at verse 2 again. I want you to look each time I say something at what the Bible says. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we are here to worship him. Now, I'm going to admit to you that a lot of what we think about the wise men is what we think about the wise men. The Bible gives us some, but the rest, I think, what we have today is conjecture. Listen, folks, we just don't really know. They are likely wealthy merchants from another country, possibly Persia, possibly the modern country of Yemen, which would be Sheba. But I want to show you why, because you see, if these men had traveled from Persia, for those of you who don't know, we're talking Iran, we're talking a distance of about 1,400 miles. And first century, you might have traveled that far in a caravan. You might have traveled in a caravan in those days of 1,000 camels. Some caravans had as many as 18 or 20,000 camels. Trip of more than 1,000 miles would have probably taken them upwards to 2 months. Camels need water, by the way. Camels need water about every 9 or 10 days. And so they would have to have a plan. They would have to realize that they're going to get to an oasis at a certain date. And then along the way, they would have to be resting for sure. But listen, we take the Bible as the historical record that we have of the wise men. We know they traveled from the east to the west. We know that they aimed for Jerusalem. We know why, and we know what guided them that direction. They've also brought, according to the Bible, very expensive gifts. And I'm saying, and I'm about to say to you how important it is for us to realize, folks, they came, kings or not, we can't say they're kings, but we have them coming to meet a king, to bow down and to worship a king. That much we know. But secondly, the point that I want to put the emphasis upon today is this matter of worship. It says there in the passage, why did they come? However long it took them, however many there were. And by the way, some of you probably know that we have a date called Epiphany that some Eastern Orthodox churches have a special day. That special day on July 6th is the day that they think that the wise men came, so they celebrate a special day called Epiphany on January 6th. And also, they believe that there are 12 kings. So just for a little bit of information here, I want you to know the reason why these men came. It's a simple but glorious reason. The Bible says, where is he who is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We have one thing on our hearts, King Herod, and that is we have come to worship him. So it's really all about worship. Now, I'm thinking chances are pretty good that if it's really all about worship, a group of people gathering together to put the focus on one little child. Think about why you travel. Why do you travel? Don't you travel for vacation's sake? If you were going to make a trip to Great Britain for some reason, chances are your reason would be the same reason the rest of us would go, unless it was business. We're going on a vacation. They weren't on vacation. They weren't involved in any business. They had one thing on their hearts and one thing alone, and that is that they put all their energy, time, and everything they had to get to worship. I want you to see how important this is. Look what the next verse says. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word. Why? Said Herod. So that I may come and worship him also. Even Herod the Great, his intended purpose was to go to Bethlehem to worship the King of the Jews. Look at the next verse. When these men arrived there, what did they do? They came into the house. They saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and they worshiped him. Listen, folks, I don't know if there was 3. I don't know if there was 12. I don't know if there were 1,000. And you don't either. What do we know? We know that they came because this baby was important. No, the baby wasn't just important. The baby was a king. No, the baby wasn't just a king. The baby was to be worshipped. That's why they came. I'm going to guess that King Herod was lying when he said that he intended to go there and worship, because if you know the story, as soon as the wise men went to another location, the Bible says that King Herod took the lives of all the little baby boys under the age of 2 in the whole land of Israel. So I don't think that his intention was to come to worship the Lord. I'm thinking about Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. These men must have learned something from the Word of God. The Bible says Jesus was born there. Then these men came from the east, and they wanted to know about someone who was born there who was considered as the King of the Jews. So I believe they studied Scripture. I believe also that they'd read about the King of the Jews coming to Israel. Wise men are people who know the Bible. Historically, the wise men were the ones who were the influencers. They were the ones that would have been the advisors. And in wherever they were at, guaranteed, folks, they would have had some connection with the Bible. But you know what else they studied? The stars. So, I'm calling them astronomers. You may not particularly call them astronomers, but I'm thinking that if these astronomers, these men who studied the Bible, these men who studied the stars, yes, they believed the Bible, but on one particular occasion, one extremely bright, unusual star lit up the sky in the east. And they would have wondered something about that star. What did they do? They spent their money for a trip. They may have left their families behind. They had to trust God with their families. They had to trust God to protect and provide for them. And listen, they were carrying some pretty expensive items, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And by the way, history tells us that there were nomadic thieves who would have attacked all the caravans and stolen people and things. But I'm guessing that in the conversations along the way, that these men must have discussed the stars. They must have discussed the person that was going to be born there. They must have discussed the Bible. And they knew where they were going. They were going wherever that star was going. The Bible tells us something really interesting in the book of Numbers. I can't say that they knew the book of Numbers, but I can say that in the book of Numbers, this is what they would have seen if they'd known the book of Numbers. There shall come a star out of Jacob, that's Israel, and a scepter, a king, shall rise out of Israel. We can't say for sure that this was the exact verse that they found, but I don't know another verse in the Bible that's as clear as this one with regards to the birth of Jesus in the book of Numbers. They studied God's word. They believed what Moses had written. And a star appeared in the sky over the land of Jacob. And at that time, according to the Bible, he would have been a king. A king was to be born in the land of Jacob. So we do know some things about these wise men. I'm thinking, though, that their hearts were aiming at worship. Their hearts were aiming at a person. Their hearts were aiming at meeting this one who was the King of the Jews. Now, what did they do when they saw a specific star arise in the night sky? I can't say for sure, but I'm guessing that they must have discussed it. I'm guessing they probably traveled at night. I'm guessing they decided we're going to follow that star. And I'm guessing that they believed that that star was telling them that a king was born. Based upon what I find in the Bible, this is what they say two or three times. We saw his star in the east. That's what it says. We saw the star in the east. I want you to note with me that the Bible puts the emphasis upon the things that were real. I don't understand it. I can't say as I understand it. But somehow a star appeared in the sky while they were in their home in the east. The star then, as the Jews were led in Israel in the days of the wilderness wanderings by the cloud, the star somehow led them to Jerusalem. I'm saying to you folks, it's important for us to realize, what does the Bible say? Stars are all the same, by the way. Did you know that? The stars are all the same today as they were 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. Stars are all the same. You look in the sky, see the same thing they would have seen. You see the Big Dipper? They would have seen the Big Dipper. You seen the Small Dipper? The Little Dipper. Right? The stars are the same. But one night, a special star arose. If you're an astronomer, if you're a wise man, if you're a student of the Bible, certainly something would have happened in your heart. Maybe, yes, and likely, yes. Stars are for signs, the Bible says, as well. And it's really interesting, as I thought about this, that these men had one purpose in coming, and they were to worship. You ever think about the fact that the ones who came were Gentiles, likely Gentiles coming to worship a Jewish king? When they came to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. I want you to think with me about how marvelous it is that they put all their time, energy, money, effort in doing one thing, going to where Christ was so that they could bow down and worship him. You know, when we worship, we bring something to God. When we worship, we bring an offering to Almighty God. Here we've got wealthy, honorable, wise, biblically knowledgeable, respectful, likely astronomers paying attention to a little child who was born, someone who was much more honorable and much more wealthier than they and deserved all their respect and all their love and all their attention. And they came. And what did they come to bring? They came to bring an offering to the baby. Came to bring an offering to the child. One ancient writer tells us about the coming before kings, a fellow by the name of Seneca. He says in Parthia it was the custom that no one could ever approach the king without a gift. So it was important for them to realize that when they met the king, that they were going to bring an offering. So the first reminder in the Bible says that they brought gold. Then they also brought not only an offering that you'd bring to a king, he also brought perfume like you would give to a priest. It's called frankincense, and symbol in the Bible of frankincense is prayer. What does it also say in the scripture? That they brought anointing oil. Oil that typically would be used when someone has died on the body and on the grave clothes. But do you remember the woman who came to Jesus with an alabaster box while the disciples were present? And the Bible tells us that she broke open the box and she just poured it upon the Lord's feet. Does anybody know what was in the box? Does anybody remember the story? Was it myrrh? Was it not a reminder of the fact that Christ would come, had come just to die? So what do we have? We've got gold, an offering for a king. We've got frankincense, perfume that you bring for a priest. And they brought myrrh, the anointing oil that you would bring for someone who was going to die. I just want you to think with me that that's what we know so far. The third thing I just want to say to you, the scripture says they accepted the Bible. What happened is they went there to Jerusalem, and the king decided he was going to gather all the chief priests and scribes together and ask them, where does it say anything in the Bible about the birth of a king? And you know what they turned to? The book of Micah, a book written almost 800 years before that. And they read this quote. The Bible says this. They read in Micah 5:2, "Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Where do you think that the wise men got their wisdom? Where did they really get their direction? They got specific direction from the Bible on that particular occasion. Yes, it was written 800 years before, but I will say this to you, they believed the Bible. The wise men from the East coming to worship Jesus believed the Bible. Whatever there was to believe. Here's Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah," oh, there's two Bethlehems. This particular Bethlehem was probably a way out in the hills of Judea with maybe 100 people in the town. "Though little among the thousands of towns in Judah, out of thee will come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." The prophecy and the prediction of Micah is that there would be a ruler who would come from Bethlehem Ephrathah. Could have been another Bethlehem, but it wasn't. It was a specific Bethlehem, the one called Bethlehem Ephrathah in the land of Judah. And what's interesting, I noticed with respect to the Jewish rabbis, that for years the Jewish rabbis taught and believed that that Micah 5:2 was a reminder of the person of the Messiah. This is from a Targum called the Targum of Jonathan. "And you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you who were too small to be numbered among the thousands of the house of Judah, from you shall come forth unto me the Messiah, to exercise dominion over Israel, he whose name was mentioned from before, from the days of creation, out of thee shall proceed in my presence the Messiah, to exercise sovereignty over Israel, whose name has been called from eternity, from the days of everlasting. I want you to think with me about this simple, wonderful story. The Bible tells us some of what we need to know about these men that came to worship. The Bible teaches us that they came to Bethlehem because the scribes looked it up and they said, oh yeah, over here it says this in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and the men went there. What's really amazing to me is the fact of all of these three things. We don't need all the answers to believe what it says in the Bible. We don't need all the answers to accept the wise men and the story of the wise men. We do know that we too have come to worship this same person, the Lord Jesus. We are here to worship the one who is the Lord Christ. And of course, we take the simple, clear statement of what does the Bible say? And it's not so complicated. He was the one who was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. So I want to close with these couple lessons today. A man said to me this week on the telephone, he says, after all this craziness at Christmas time, he says, let's get together after all this craziness in January. I thought, wow, all this craziness. The whole world has got all this craziness. What do the Christians have? We have God became a baby so he could pay the penalty for our sins. That's Christmas. Simple. That's Christmas. These men were, they came to worship. They came because Christ was worthy of their sacrifice. Yes, it cost them, according to the Bible, but Jesus Christ is worthy of whatever gifts that you bring to him. Please remember that, folks. It's so beautiful and so wonderful to know that he is worth everything you sacrifice and bring to him. Absolutely wonderful. The second thing I want to say to you is that before you can bring a gift, first, the Bible teaches, we give ourselves to him. You give yourself to him, then your offering is received. Please remember that. First, you give your offering, the offering of yourself, and then you bring your offering to the Lord. The third thing I want to say is this. He came as a king, and he died as a king. Anybody remember what the plaque said over the top of Jesus when he was being crucified? They put these words right above Jesus' head on a little placard. They said, this is the King of the Jews. They put it in Greek, and they put it in Hebrew, and they put it in Latin, so that everybody going by could see that the one who was being crucified was the King of Israel. My question to you today is this: what worship are you bringing to Christ? Is he that important? Is it worth it for you to bring yourself and your offering to him? First and foremost, of course, a person must be saved. Here's the prayer of the sinner. Because if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, all of your offering is just simply religion. But when a person trusts in Christ, they find that they have life in Christ, then comes the offering. So here's the sinner's prayer. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins. I believe on your Son today as the King who paid for all my sins. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life in him. Amen. And what would we pray in the Christian's response? Lord, I thank you that you sent Jesus to be my King, my Savior, and my Lord. Thank you for the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Father, we thank you that you know everything about us. You have loved us with a wonderful love beyond anything in this world, Lord. Shown us again from your Son that what we need more than anything in the world is we need him. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the birth. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son. And Father, so we just commit our hearts to you today because we know, Father, that first You've called us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we would, Father, do that. So we give you the glory and the praise for giving us such a wonderful Savior in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.